Hi, this is Pastor Bill Woods. I certainly hope you had a nice Christmas and you remembered what it was all about, that it was the birth of Jesus Christ that we celebrate, and how he stepped into our world and took on the form of a human being so he could pay the cost, or the price, I mean, for our sins. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now today I'm going to do something a little bit special. I've asked my wife if she would read a reading that she has used several times at Christmas Eve candlelight services. And I think it's something that you would enjoy. I want you to know this is a story. It's not out of the Bible, but it is a story. But it does fit the personality and techniques of Jesus Christ. And the Bible does say there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written to everyone, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. I wanted you to know that this story could have happened on the hillside of Judea. Unfortunately, I do not know the author, and I think probably it's public domain, so I'm not too worried about copyright or anything, but I do want you to enjoy what Marty has to say, and I do hope that it's a very meaningful time for you. Now I'm going to introduce to you my wife, Marty, or Martha Jean Woods, and she's going to do her thing, and I know that you're going to enjoy it. God bless you.
Well, thank you, and I'm glad to have this opportunity to read this story. It's always touched my heart. Hope you've had a blessed Christmas and are looking forward to serving Jesus in the new year. This story is called Anniversary. The little boy sat quite alone on the hilltop, his shepherd's crook across his knee, his small square lunch basket beside him. He made an odd, distorted shadow in the white light of the moon, for even the fringed shawl that his mother had woven of lamb's wool could not hide the ugly hump that lay between his shoulders, a burden much too heavy for so young a lad to have to bear. Far below him, dotting the hillside, were the sheep. The little lad was not watching the sheep. His eyes were fixed on the sky. He looked wistful. Perhaps it'll happen again, he was thinking. Perhaps, even though 33 years have gone by, I shall see the great star and hear the angel voices as my father did. The moon went under a blanket of cloud, and the world was dark for a moment. The little boy sighed and lowered his eyes. It is an omen, he said. Though this is the time of the anniversary, there will be no star tonight, nor will the angels sing. How oft has he listened to the story of the miracle that had taken place so long ago? His father had been a lad himself then, and had heard the angels sing and seen the bright star. He had gone with the other shepherds to the stable of the inn, and crowded through the doorway, he had seen a woman with a baby in her arms. He had told the story so many times that the neighbors knew it word for word. She was no ordinary woman. There was something in her face that made one think of a lighted candle and a tender smile. And what of the baby? The little boy was always prompted his father when he told the story. But what of the baby? The baby, his father said, was scarce an hour old when I glimpsed him. But I found myself kneeling, and there were tears upon my face, and I was not ashamed. Alone on the hillside, the little boy could almost hear his father telling the old story. Also, how the wise men had brought their precious gifts. He remembered that for a while the child had disappeared with his parents, and some thought he had been stolen and slain by Herod. But years later, they heard that the youth had returned, grown, and had organized a band of men with them, and was journeying from place to place, teaching and healing the sick. And some had said that he was the Messiah, because he made the blind to see and the lame to walk and healed the lepers, even raised the dead. Once at that point, the little boy had interrupted his father and said, "I wish that I might meet him, and he might take the hump from my back and make me strong and straight like the other children." With loving fingers laid against her son's mouth, her mother silenced him. "What must be," she told him. "You were born that way, my son." It was cold on the hillside. The child drew the shawl closer to his tired body and wished he were not a shepherd. Shepherds led a lonely life. Yawning, he glanced up at the sky. It was almost midnight, hours yet before someone would take his place and he could limp on home. And yet, midnight had its compensation, for now he could partake of the lunch that his mother had so carefully packed into a basket. He found a flask of milk, nearly a loaf of crusty dark bread, some yellow cheese, some dried figs, and wrapped separately, he came upon a real treat, a cake made of eggs and flour with citron and raisins. It was a surprise. His eyes gleamed, and some of the sadness went out of them. He laid his lunch all out except for the cake. He wrapped it up and laid it in the bottom of the basket, lest he be tempted to eat it first. "It is so good to be hungry and to have food," he said. From somewhere just behind him, a voice spoke. It was not a loud voice, yet the music of it seemed to carry beyond the hillside. "Yes, indeed," the voice said. "It is good to be hungry and to have food and to..." The little boy was startled. He saw a man sitting upon the brow of the hill. Ordinarily, he would have been frightened, but somehow, the sight of this man failed to frighten him. He instinctively completed the man's sentence. "And to share it," he murmured. "You are a stranger, sir?" The man came closer and stood looking down upon him. "No, not a stranger, never a stranger. As it happens, my journey started not far from this very place. I was about to eat my lunch," the little boy said. "Will you share it with me? Perhaps you'll talk with me. It grows lonely on this hillside." The man continued to gaze at the little boy, and his eyes looked as if a candle burned somewhere behind them. "It is a strange coincidence," he said, "the fact that you are a shepherd, for I also attend my father's flock, and I also have often grown lonely, waiting for the gates of dawn to open. Are you sure you have sufficient food for two?" "Oh, yes, I have a large flask of goat's milk, some cheese, nearly a loaf of bread, then figs, and..." He hesitated. "Oh, I have a great plenty." He did not mention the cake wrapped in the basket. It was a rare delicacy, and it wasn't very big. The little boy saw that the stranger's sandals were covered with dust. "Perhaps your feet are aching," he ventured, as he placed the food before him. "This hill is hard to climb. I'm almost spent by the time I reach the top." The man said slowly, "I have climbed steeper hills than this one, my lad, and know that there are steeper hills yet to be." Then he changed the subject. "How long have you been crippled?" "Why," he answered, "I have never been without a hump between my shoulders. But what must be," he quoted his mother. "Still, it is hard to go through life looking like one of the camels that the wise men rode when they came from the east." The man interrupted. "What do you know of the wise men from the east? How does it happen that you should mention them to me at this night? It is very curious." He bit into a piece of the dark bread. The boy told him how the wise men were on his mind because this was the anniversary of the time when the babe had been born 33 years ago. He told how he had been hoping that the great star might shine again, and about his father's visit to the babe. The stranger listened to it all. He shared the lad's cup of milk and drank as if he were very thirsty. Suddenly, the lad said, "I had hoped that my life might be short because of my deformity, but already I am 10 years old. How old are you, sir? I feel older than my years." The stranger replied, "I also feel older than my years. I am over 3 times as old as you, my lad." When the little boy asked the time of his birth, the stranger smiled. "Today is my birthday. You are unknowingly giving me my birthday feast, and never has a feast been more welcomed. I was very weary when I came upon you." "Haven't you any people of your own with whom you can make merry on your birthday?" the boy asked. "My mother prepares a feast and gives me gifts." The man reached over and rested his hand on the boy's knee. "I fear I have grown too old for birthday gifts. My loved ones are not near enough just now to make merry with me. But maybe there will be a gift for me at my end's journey." "But you don't look very happy about it. Don't you want to reach home and come to the end of your travels?" "Yes, I want to reach home, but the gift, it may be too beautiful to bear or too heavy for me to carry. I suppose I should be getting on. You have made this birthday very sweet, my lad." Peering down at the cloth with its remnant of food, the boy thought, "There seems to be as much food as there ever was. He couldn't have liked it." Suddenly, he was swept with a burning sense of shame. He spoke hastily. "You have no true birthday feast because I have been selfish and mean. I have in my basket a cake that I was saving to eat after you had left me. But now, if I ate it in solitude, it would choke me. Sir, I desire to give the cake to you as my gift. Perhaps you will eat it later." The man did not speak, but his eyes were like stars instead of candles. "Ah, my lad," he said, "you have sustained me with your bread, and we have drunk of the same cup. So now we will share this cake, which shall be my birthday cake." He divided the cake and said, "Bless unto us this food, my father." It was the sweetest cake the little boy had ever tasted. He felt that he was gathering force and purpose. In his mind's eye, and for no reason at all, he saw a picture of himself, robust and brave, striding down the road with his weakness gone from him. "It's like a vision," he said, and he remained so silent that the man rested his hand on the shoulders, lightly but firmly. There was something in the touch that made tears hang on the boy's lashes. "Oh," he cried, "do not leave me, sir. Come to my home and dwell. My mother will bake you lots of cakes. You may have my bed and even this shawl that my mother made. Stay with me here in Bethlehem." The man spoke. His voice was like a great bell tolling over hill and valley. "I must go on. I must be about my father's business. I must travel towards my destiny. But I shall never leave you, my lad, for all that. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." The boy covered his misty eyes with his hands, but he was aware of the man's firm fingers traveling up from his shoulders until they touched his hair. But now he couldn't speak, for a pulse drummed in his throat. Then he raised his head, and the man was gone, and the hillside was empty, except for the shadows and the sheep. He sobbed once, and with a sense of great loss, he struggled to his feet. Only, what? He didn't have to struggle, for there was a curious lightness about his body, and a feeling of freshness and peace, a peace that overcame the pain of parting. But it was not until he drew the fringed shawl tighter across his back that he realized how straight he was standing and how straight he would always stand.
Thank you, Marty, for joining me on that podcast. I always enjoy it when you read that story, and it's so tender. It means a lot to me. I want to say to the people that are listening that next week I plan on talking about the shepherds and how Jesus has made way for whosoever to find him, no matter if you're rich or poor. And then the following week I want to talk about how he ministers to the elite. And the title of that sermon, I think, as I'm working on it, is "Were the Wise Men Really So Smart?" Anyhow, I would appreciate it if you enjoyed having Marty on the podcast today. Give me some feedback, and maybe we can do that again sometime. I do want to ask you that if you understood the full meaning of Christmas, how God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you understand that, but you've not accepted Christ as your Savior yet, I would invite you to do this very moment. Ask Jesus to forgive you for your sins. Tell him that you want to live for him, and help him, ask him to be your Savior. And if you need help on any of that, I would just encourage you to contact me. You can do that again through the phone number 623-845-2741, or you can do it through my Gmail, which is lowercase revwmwoods@gmail.com, or you could write to me through the slow mail, and that would be box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona 86029. Now, before we go, I would just like to have a word of prayer with you. Father, we thank you so much for all the blessings that you give to us. We thank you especially for the fact that you saw we were lost and on our way to hell, but you wanted to do something about that because you loved us so much you couldn't stand to think about us being lost for eternity. And Lord, I pray that each one of us will stop and count our blessings and realize the biggest blessing is we can be part of your family. We can accept you as our Savior. And may this day be the day some of these people, Lord, that are listening, that don't know you, would find you as their Lord and Savior and have their life changed and accept your gift of eternal life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.